Well, to the war in Ukraine now, where this weekend we saw NATO giving the green light for Ukraine to launch attacks inside of Russia. And Ukrainian President Zelensky this weekend announced a new big counteroffensive, but he can't tell us too much about it, but it is coming. And just to put in some context here, let's take a look at the last big, massive counteroffensive that Ukraine launched against Russia. Taking a look at the map here from June 1st, 2023 to February 26, 2024. I don't know if you notice anything here, but of course, very minimal, if any, change. And the changes that you do see are on the part of Russia advancing in certain towns and taking over Avdiivka and other towns as well. This weekend, we also heard from Victoria Nuland. Victoria Nuland, who, of course, was responsible in part and parcel for the coup in Ukraine, which installed a Western puppet government. She is confident, she told Christian Amanpour, that Ukraine will get this additional money to launch this new counteroffensive when Congress comes back in session. Listen.
How are you going to make sure Ukraine gets vital weapons and ammunition?
Christian, I have strong confidence that when the House comes back, after they've been out in their districts hearing from the American people, after they have heard from Ukraine, they have heard from Europe, which, by the way, just passed $54 billion in additional aid itself, that we will do what we have always done, which is defend democracy and freedom around the world, not just for victims of tyrants like Putin, but in our own interest in preserving a free and open international order. That's what we need to do. We've done it before. And by the way, we have to remember that the bulk of this money is going right back into the U.S. economy to make those weapons, including good-paying jobs in some 40 states across the United States.
To make sense of all of this and these movements and these comments from Zelensky over the weekend, we want to bring in former U.S. Marine, former U.N. weapons inspector Scott Ritter, who's been spot on about this counteroffensive, the failed first counteroffensive last summer. Scott, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
So first, I just want to get to your assessment of this map and what Zelensky says about a new counteroffensive. So this new counteroffensive is coming. He's telling everyone publicly about it, by the way, which seems like such a ridiculous thing to do. Will it be as successful as the first counteroffensive?
Oh, undoubtedly. It will be as successful as the first counteroffensive, which means that whatever material and whatever personnel he's able to cobble together, if he's able and indeed able to do this, will all be destroyed and they'll all be killed, captured, or wounded. I mean, that because that's the end result of the first of this summer counteroffensive of 2023. Minimal territorial gains. That territory which they did capture was part of a Russian strategy of flexible defense, meaning that the Russians were going to give them the territory no matter what, because they're more than happy to trade territory for dead Ukrainian lives. And this is what happened. The Ukrainians didn't penetrate the first major barrier. They all died in the crumple zone of the Russian defenses. And if there ever is a Ukrainian counteroffensive, and just because Zelensky says there will be one doesn't mean there will be one, because the Russians right now are pretty good at interdicting Ukrainian forces as they build up. But when you take a look at this map, Ukraine has lost almost every territorial gain they made and has ceded considerable territory to Russia. So, you know, this counteroffensive has failed. It's Russia that's on the, I guess, counteroffensive right now. And I don't see anything stopping the Russian momentum until this conflict is over. I think that there'll be the occasional, counterpunch by Ukraine, but they don't have anything left to counterpunch with. That's the problem.
I read an unbelievable report from a journalist who was in Ukraine recently and left Ukraine and said, what you've been hearing about Ukraine is a total lie. Of course, you're hearing that, everyone's thriving. They're doing just fine. There's no problem with the recruitment numbers. They have the forces that they need. And she pointed out that when you go to different stores, when you go around the city, there are no men anywhere. You won't see men. And the men that there are basically hiding in their homes, because if they come out, they are worried about being conscripted almost immediately. The conscription groups go around and try. If people are on their way to work, they will be grabbed and thrown into vehicles and sent to the front lines to be killed. So these poor men are having to try to provide for their families, to try to make some sort of money to go to work. If they go to work, they're rounded up and then thrown onto the front lines and then killed. So Zelensky this weekend said that not only 30,000 Ukrainians have been killed, the numbers of 300,000 are a total lie, even though the New York Times even points out as many as 500,000 casualties in a report last summer. So Zelensky says nothing to see here, don't worry about it, yet independently we know that that is a, seems like it's a total lie. What's your assessment of his numbers?
Well, I think one of the big problems facing Zelensky right now is a PR problem, both in Ukraine and abroad. How do you square a 500,000 dead? And here's the thing about Zelensky's numbers. You know, we know that there have been 400,000 obituaries for Ukrainian soldiers since the start of this war.
Wow.
We also know that the Russians have, that the Ukrainians have abandoned over 120,000 dead on the battlefield that they call missing, that they, you know, and these haven't been counted in. And the Russians, as they are, you know, taking territory, are finding just the heaps of Ukrainian bodies, both unburied and those where the Ukrainians dump them into a ditch and cover them up. You know, so Zelensky knows that he's suffered horrific casualties. I mean, Zelensky has alluded to this, the need for an immediate 500,000 men. Why? Because they lost 500,000. And this is dead. We're not talking about wounded. Wounded, you know, figure triple that number. We're talking, you know, over a million wounded. So, you know, Zelensky's in la-la land. He is trying to create this impression, but he's not even fooling himself. I mean, you look at his eyes while he makes a statement, and you know that he knows that we know that it's a lie. But this is the PR game that's being played right now so that he can convince the West to continue doubling down on stupid. And there's a meeting, I guess they're assembling a meeting of the top European nations right now. Macron is assembling this for the goal of trying to figure out how to empower Ukraine to do this top secret counteroffensive that nobody's supposed to know about, but everybody apparently does because Zelensky has announced it. So has his Minister of Defense, but we're not talking about it. But I mean, it's obvious. Look, we know that there's several thousand, not tens of thousands, several thousand Ukrainian soldiers being trained right now in Belgium and in other places. The Belgian government has admitted it, and others have as well. There's no doubt in my mind that these forces will be held in some sort of strategic reserve. But the best Ukraine will be able to accumulate, and right now when they speak of a counteroffensive, the talk is that Ukraine will go on a flexible defense throughout 2024 and prepare for a counteroffensive sometime in 2025. They're seeking to replicate what they call the successes of the first phase of this war, where Russia pushed in aggressively and Ukraine, using flexible defense tactics, were able to attrit the Russians down. That's the goal. That's the objective of the Ukrainians. But we need to remember that in 2022, Ukraine had a professional army that had been trained for 7 years by NATO to NATO standards. Those all they all died in this flexible defense. Talk to the Ukrainian soldiers about the situation in May and June of 2022. Everybody was dead. Everybody was wounded. They had nothing left until the United States pumped in $48 billion of Lend-Lease and rebuilt a new Ukrainian army. And then Ukraine's been rebuilding armies ever since because they all die on the battlefield. This isn't the same way. Russia has learned its lessons. Russia will not be rushing forward. There's not going to be any bold advances. Russia is taking a village here, a village there every day, advancing villages, bite by bite. And the Ukrainians have nothing. The Russians have said the Ukrainians cannot solidify a defensive line. They don't have troops. And at some point in time, Zelensky is going to have to take this reserve that he's building up and commit it, and then he'll have nothing for this counteroffensive. There will not be a counteroffensive. It's a fictional fantasy in the mind of Zelensky and his Western supporters.
I mean, at some point, the jig has to be up, right? I mean, you've got nobody left. At what point?
It's up, Clayton. It's up. I mean, we're looking at the end. Look, everybody, Scott, you keep saying it's up. It's up. Man, we knew in World War II, we knew it was up in the fall of 1944. There wasn't a person on the American and British general staff that said, I think the Germans got some, they're going to win this one. There wasn't anybody in Moscow saying, oh my God, I think the Germans could turn this thing around. Everybody knew it was over, but there were many months of hard fighting. And I will make this point over and over again. The bloodiest month for Americans in World War II on the fighting the Germans wasn't D-Day, wasn't June. It wasn't December 44, Battle of the Bulge. It was April 1945, the last month of the war. That was the bloodiest month. As the Germans were defeated, as they were dying, as everything was finished, you know, it's hard to kill a man, Clayton. And a desperate man will fight desperately. The Ukrainians will put up a resistance. They've shown that. There are many desperate people in Ukraine who are capable of desperate resistance, but they will go the way of the Nazis in 1945. They will all die or surrender, one way or the other. This war is over. There's nothing that can happen to change this around. There is no miracle weapon. There's nothing the West could do. The West can cause more people to die. I mean, that's the tragedy of this for, you know, Macron and the other European leaders to say we want to help Ukraine, but all they're going to do is guarantee that another 100,000, 200,000 Ukrainians die. That's it.
Desperate people do desperate things. That's something we always say here on this show. And, you know, you're seeing that, I think, on the part of NATO right now in the United States Congress. You're seeing a lot of desperation. You saw Zelensky a few weeks ago saying, how dare Congress, United States Congress, take 2 weeks vacation? You know, war doesn't stop, you know, and so Congress goes on vacation. This money is not allocated, though Victoria Nuland really wants this additional money going there. You heard pundits over the weekend. You heard Nikki Haley, all of them saying, how can we be abandoning Ukraine? How are we doing that? How are we going to abandon Ukraine? And so if we pump another $60, $70 billion into this mess, what do you think it's just an extension of the last throes of a desperate situation, or will this change anything?
Well, it won't change anything. I mean, look, it'll make some defense contractors happy because, as Victoria Nuland has said, the majority of that money will be pumped into American defense industries to produce new equipment. But how long does it take to produce new equipment? Ukraine needs an instant army. Shake and bake, baby. You need to add water, shake, throw in the microwave, pull it out, and you got a new army. That doesn't exist. You need well-trained troops. They don't have any. They're all dead. You might be able to pull 1,000 out, 1,000 here to get trained up, but Ukraine needs, as Zelensky said, 500,000. Right now, they don't have it. They don't have the tanks. They don't have the armored fighting vehicles. They don't have the artillery systems. They don't have the artillery shells. They have nothing. So even if this money materialized, it would not have a strategic impact until the end of 2024, early 2025 at the earliest. But the bottom line is, you know, I can't predict the future, but let's just put it this way. We're in the midst of a presidential election year. I call it the silly season of American politics, where common sense and normal thinking just doesn't apply. Do you really think, I mean, now that, you know, Donald Trump swamped Nikki Haley in South Carolina, it looks like he's on his way to secure the Republican nomination. Do you really think that Mike Johnson is going to punt the biggest gift that Joe Biden has given the Republican Party, that is the crisis at the southern border? Do you really think that he's going to give up the leverage that he has? Do you really think that Biden is going to make the compromises necessary to appease the Republicans if the Republicans suddenly yield and give this money to Joe Biden for Ukraine? It's the leverage they have. The Republicans don't care about Ukraine. And frankly speaking, despite all of Victoria Nuland's and everybody else's pontificating, neither do the American people. The American people care more about the border than, especially the Republican voters, care more about the border than they do about Ukraine. Johnson isn't going to appease the Democrats. He's not going to do the right thing by Victoria Nuland. Not in my opinion. I think we're into presidential politics, and Johnson knows that his bread is buttered by Donald Trump. And so I don't see him turning his back on Trump at this critical time, because Trump is a vengeful man. I mean, for better or for worse. He's a man who believes in retribution. And if Mike Johnson betrays Trump this early, Mike Johnson may not be a representative come November. So Mike Johnson knows this. He's not going to commit political suicide, and neither are the other Republicans there. So I don't share Victoria Nuland's confidence that this money is going to be allocated. But we'll see. It's American politics. I mean, they caught Chuck Schumer, you know, on a hot mic moment, admitting that he lies about everything. He tricks everything. It's all, you know. So, and the thing is, Chuck Schumer is still the Senate Majority Leader, meaning that if American people cared about politicians lying, Schumer would have been gone a long time ago. But we don't care. We're a pathetic nation full of pathetic sheep who allow our politicians to do anything they want. So making a political prediction is almost impossible, except this. Donald Trump is a vengeful man, and Mike Johnson is not about to put his neck on the chopping block.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Well, we'll see. What do you think? I'll get you out of here with this. What do you think Putin's going to do here? I mean, just sort of sit back, continue this sort of incremental village by village movement here. We hear, you know, getting F-16s now, and we're going to Jens Stoltenberg, long-range weapons attacking into Russia. What will Putin's response be to that? Or have we already seen it, just the Western media is not covering it, certain attacks on different supply ships and supply routes that are being supplied by NATO, but we don't ever hear that reporting?
Look, the Russians have made it clear that if NATO directly intervenes into this war, then it's a war between Russia and NATO, and that war will not be fought on Ukraine. It'll be fought in Europe. I mean, it's as plain as day. But Russia also has shown through its actions that it will not, even though it calls NATO a party to the conflict by providing weaponry and stuff, that if it's Ukrainian pilots taking off from Ukrainian soil, then the Ukraine will be struck by these weapons. The Russians are winning this war. The Russians have won this war. This war is over. I mean, there's months left of fighting, but the outcome is guaranteed. So Putin is not going to do anything that changes that calculus. He's not going to overreact. He is not going to do something that's precipitous that could draw NATO into this conflict. He's going to continue doing what he does, lay the marker down that there will be fatal consequences for NATO engagement and direct engagement in Ukraine, but also that the other thing he's told the Ukrainians is the longer you continue this ridiculous fantasy of believing that you can fight and prevail against Russia, the more likely it is that when this conflict ends, there won't be a Ukraine. And we're getting to that point, Clayton. Ukraine's finished. I mean, they've lost this war. Now the question is, do they want Black Sea access? I think they've lost that permanently. I don't think the Russians will entertain termination of this conflict if it doesn't have Russia controlling the Black Sea, Odessa linking up with Transnistria, Russia controlling Dnipropetrovsk, Kharkov. Now Ukraine's lost all of this heavy industry, so it's a rump state. Now, do they want Russia to come in and occupy all of it and terminate any notion of Ukrainian nationhood? Is this what they want? Because this is what they're going to get. And NATO needs to understand that. But NATO doesn't care. NATO's always been willing to throw Ukraine on the sacrificial block. And Ukraine is being sacrificed. It's up to Ukraine to wake up right now and understand that Zelensky has led them down a path where they are going to lose 40% of their country territorially. And they are going to lose significant aspects of their industry. But if they want anything left to call Ukraine a Ukrainian homeland, they need to be suing for peace right now. Not with the Zelensky formula, but turning to the Russians and begging for forgiveness and seeing how merciful Russia can be.
Yeah, Ukraine will not exist very soon unless they wake up. That seems to be what's going to happen here. And then I guess all of these NGOs and all of these big companies that wanted to build BlackRock and others want to come in and buy up this land, it's going to be Russian territory. They're going to be upset about that pretty soon.
The funniest thing, Clayton, I mean, I don't want to throw too many people under the bus here, but go to Georgetown University in their master's degree program in their international security program and look at the master's thesis of all these bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, young Americans who have been supporting this Ukraine, you know, post-war reconstruction, building the new Ukraine. I mean, you just look at all this stuff and you realize just how lost America is. We've taken an entire generation and we've filled their head full of nonsense. And these master's theses that they're writing that are supposed to propel them onto greater careers are not even, they'll only be used for lighting fires down the road because the words that contain them, they're empty, they're meaningless. They're so far removed from reality. But this is American policy as a whole. We live in a land of fiction and the Russians live in the land of reality, and reality will trump fiction every day of the week.
Well said. Scott Ritter, great to see you as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.